You can't be serious, man. You cannot be serious!
We've covered off the AFL Grand Final in the lead-up and the aftermath, and Tony Jewell has given his opinion about Richmond. And we thought that to make it evenly balanced, because there's a lot of people that listen to this that aren't necessarily AFL devotees, and there's people overseas in Israel and America.
Ben Fordham in New South Wales.
And his wife.
She's listening.
I'm sure, but Ben will pass on probably something.
He hasn't won her over to listen to us yet.
No, but he hasn't. And we should give her a name of her own rather than Ben Fordham's wife. What's her name?
Jo Spears.
Right. What?
Joanne.
Joanne, yep. So they might be devotees of the NRL, so we thought we would get on a... who?
Jodie Spears. Oh, sorry. Anyway, so Ben. Ben Fordham's batting above his average.
Don't keep saying that, Don. What's her name, please? Jodie. And you said Joe. Good on you.
You said Joanne.
Anyhow, the Fordhams.
She'll never listen.
The Fordhams. The Fordhams will be listening to this, and they might be interested in this man's opinion. We're going to get on the line shortly. He's Fatty Vorton, and he's Paul Vorton, and. Just let me tell you who Paul Vorton is. What?
He's Fatty Vorton, but he's Paul Vorton.
His name's Paul, and he's called Fatty, and I call him Fat. And he's...
like John and Sam?
Is it like Bill Brownless called Fat? He calls Bill Brownless Fat as well.
Yeah, because he's fat. That's right, Don. Yep. And I call you stupid. So... Paul Vorton, Fat, captained the 1987 Manly Warringah football side to a premiership. He coached the Queensland State of Origin side in 1995 and won that Series 3 zip against New South Wales. He's been an Australian Kangaroo representative. He's been a State of Origin representative for Queensland. He played for the English club St Helens. He was on for 24 years, the Sydney version of the footy show, our AFL down here. He was the NRL footy show. He's a multiple Logie Award winner on that show. He was on a very, very prestigious show called Sam and the Fat Man with another bloke during the 90s or maybe the 2000s. He's a
yes.
Great...
What were you doing?
I was...
He was the Sam bit.
I was...
Well, what were they doing?
We were just... we were doing a show. And
what type of show?
It was
why don't
just,
you ask him when he's on?
Yeah, and he is a great golfer, like a seriously good golfer for a man who you would think wouldn't
physically
have,
impaired?
No, you wouldn't think why? He... You wouldn't.
Well, he's short and squat.
He was called Fat because, we'll ask him why he was called Fat, because someone, when he first joined the club, someone said, who's that fatty over there? And it stuck. So Don, and he's a great golfer, I know that. And so we're going to get him on the line and we're going to ask him about where he ranks them. Well, we'll just ask him the questions, we won't preempt them. And we'll ask him just how he's going.
Hey.
Fat!
Yes.
You're on air with Don Scott, and I'm your old China Sam Newman. And Fat, we thank you very much for taking the call. I know we're an hour's difference here because we're in daylight saving down here in Melbourne, Australia, and you're up in Queensland.
Yes, no, it's a pleasure. And I believe this is the top rating podcast in Australia, and. Congratulations.
And I've just given you all your credentials about what you've done and where you've been, so don't think we're...
Well, was that about 10 seconds?
No. I took a long time to read them out. Don interrupted me on every statistic I read out. He said, what, when did he do that? I said, well, I'm telling you when he did it. I'm reading it out now. I got it off. So Fat, I... This is extraordinary, really. I don't have much interest in the AFL. I quite honestly say I didn't watch the grand final. I can say that, but I.
You didn't watch the grand final. Are you serious?
What,
did you have a date? Were you doing your best with a young lady?
I wish. But I did. But I'm a great devotee of the NRL. And isn't it amazing? I know you're quite a fan of the AFL for one reason or another. I'm sure you're still a fan of the NRL, but I was intrigued by that game against the Panthers on Sunday, and I was wondering what you thought of it and where, Fat, you place the Melbourne Storm in the pantheon of NRL football in this country.
You have gone in depth. Why weren't you this good on our TV show 20 years ago, Sam and the Fat Man?
Why weren't
you that good then?
I'm not sure what we thought we were meant to be doing on it.
No, we had no idea. Look, Melbourne, they are, I think, in the last 20 years in particular, they've only been around since 1998, and they won their first comp in their second year in 1999. Chris Anderson was coaching, former Bulldogs coach. But since Craig Bellamy's taken them over, He is a wizard. I think he's in the top three coaches who ever coached in rugby league. What he does, it's incredible. He turns players who are rejects at other clubs because they're not good enough. He turns them into premiership winning players. And there's another example was on Sunday where Brenko Lee, he plays in the centres. Now he played at three clubs. He played at Canberra, and he also played for the Gold Coast. And he was in and out of first grade at the Gold Coast. And if you're in and out of first grade at the Gold Coast, then you are hopeless. But he took him to Melbourne, and he is now a premiership player. Not only that, he's also been picked in the Queensland Origin squad. So this is what Craig Bellamy, this is the effect he has on every player that he ever coaches. He gives them time, he gives them love. And, you know, he's fantastic. He's a marvellous man, he's a great coach. But on Sunday, I always thought Melbourne would win. Penrith had a fantastic season. They only lost one game, 19 wins out of 20. They won their last 17 in a row. But heading into the semi-finals and the final series, really, the last eight games, they've beaten one team in the top eight. So I always had the doubts about them. They just beat South Sydney in the qualifying semi-final, only by 4 points. And on Sunday, that showed up. The nerves. They've never been in such a big game. They're a fairly young team. And it showed up, and 22-0 at halftime just showed that they weren't ready. They gave away far too many penalties. They made far too many critical errors in their own half. And Melbourne just capitalised. And when you've got a player of the ilk of Cameron Smith, Andrew Johns, we've got 11, maybe 13 immortals in the history of rugby league. Andrew Johns, the eighth. He was picked the eighth. And he says he's the best player he's ever seen. Now, Andrew, you know, he's obviously only been around the last probably 25 years. I go back a lot further. But for him to say that, you know, is incredible. And he is, what he does, especially in his latter years, he controls the game by slowing it all down to his pace. And it's amazing. When he got the ball in his hands and he got it in both of his hands, everyone just slows down, and he's just an absolute wizard, and tough, relenting, just absolutely brilliant player. And you know, the likes of Pappenhausen, who was let go by the West Tigers a couple of years ago because they thought he wasn't good enough, and he won the medal, Clive Churchill Medal, for the best player the other day. I mean, that try he scored was scintillating, and that was the backbreaker that took them to 26-0. Well, and then it was all over.
Well, great insight, Fat, because we wouldn't have even picked those small nuances up, so that's why we've got you on, Don.
Paul, I'm a barricade too.
Before I say, Don, I always try and do research on the people that I talk to, and I've Googled you, and mate, I want to say you sound remarkable for the age of 91.
What?
Don Scott, you played for South Melbourne in the 50s, and you were born in 1929, so to be still on radio at 91 is incredible.
We have got an idiot here, haven't we?
Well, I think you've Googled the wrong Don Scott, Fat.
Aren't you that one?
No, I wasn't born in Western Australia.
There's another one that played for Hawthorn.
Yeah.
But I thought you were the other one.
Yeah.
I'm going to stay for 90, won't you? Sounds incredible.
It's a mistake well made, though, Fat. If you look at him now, he looks as though he's 91. He looks like a fucking idiot.
Well.
You win.
That's not a podcast, is it? Well, let me ask you this then. If you're the other one that played 302 games for Hawthorn, that's a great feat. Tell me about your coaching career at South Adelaide. Six games, wasn't it? What happened? Did they fall out of the comp?
The only game we won was a night game, and I had 19 men on the ground. That's how smart they are over there. I had to get that 19th man off. Hey, listen, Paul. I'm a barracker, so I'm different to an expert in this game. But what I couldn't understand, and I do appreciate what he said, was at halftime, Gus Gould said that Penrith were playing better type football than, and I can appreciate that, but the scoreline didn't indicate 20-0. And then they scored straight after halftime, Melbourne Storm, to go to 26. Did he have a relevant point in what he said, or is he biased?
You should ring him and ask him. I have no idea what he was talking about. Now, look, it was 22-0 before halftime, and Phil, who was at played for Penrith in 1978 to 1980, he also coached them to their first premiership win in 1991, and he ran the club for about 10, 15 years. He got the kibosh about 2 years ago. So he still loves the joint. So I've got no doubt there was a bit of bias there. But when he said, I was sitting at home, filling my face with homemade sausage rolls, sitting there with the bride, and when he said, it's 22-0, but I feel as though Penrith are on top, I just went, what? I could see where it was coming from. They weren't, well, I couldn't really, because they weren't even in the game. They'd made so many mistakes. When they'd had the ball, they weren't too bad. But, look, I think he was looking through rose-coloured glasses,
And
he's getting hammered left, right and centre for some of his comments in the commentary. But
Is getting hammered. Look, I didn't take exception to him. He did say that Penrith had 2 tries, probably absolutely correctly disallowed.
Yeah, that's true.
And I when he said that, I didn't think he was biased.
I think if that's his
opinion, I could understand why he said it.
And me too. I get what he was trying to say. He was trying to say that, look, you know, they've made 3 errors and it's cost them 20 points. But apart from that, it's fairly even. And I can probably nearly agree with that, because Melbourne, they're so professional, and if you make mistakes against them, you get hammered, and that's exactly what happened. And the thing was that they just weren't ready. They were starstruck running on the field, and they just weren't ready for a grand final. As some of them were young and had no idea what it was all about. They'll be better. But he's getting hammered left, right and centre, but it is news for them, isn't it? They hate his guts, so...
Yeah, I didn't. So I thought it was pretty objective. I didn't worry me.
Is there a bias towards Melbourne Storm, seeing that they're not in the Brisbane or Sydney? I mean, the Warriors are the only other side outside that competition that are relocated.
Oh, yeah,
and Melbourne have been very, very successful outside their so-called hub.
Yeah, there is. And, I mean, no one in New South Wales likes them at all. People are jealous of them.
Why? They're
the most successful.
Well, they'd be disqualified.
Well, because they're successful.
They were disqualified. They've lost a couple of premierships,
They lost 2 premierships because of some boats and cars that ended up in people's garages and at their marinas. They lost 2. They could have won 5 of the last 10, if not. But they've won 3 of the last 6 or 7. They're a great club. And people are jealous. Scribes and media people are jealous that the cup keeps going down to Melbourne and how professional they are and how good they are. I don't know. It's human nature, I suppose. I think it's wonderful.
Down here
I think that's been rewarded.
Down here in Melbourne, we don't hear anything of any, well, there's only been in my time about three misdemeanors that have hit the press amongst these players, whereas we hear a lot that happens in New South Wales and Queensland with the guys. Is it because they are forced to live together, they don't receive the notoriety or recognition in Melbourne that they do up there, and consequently they've, you know, they've just got one another and their friendship is a real bond, and that does help them as well?
Look, what they've gone through this year in particular, they've been in a hub up at Twin Waters, which is a pretty good resort up Maroochydore-Noosa way. And they've been stuck there for 6 months. And you know, no wives, no girlfriends, no kids. It's just been them. So for them to survive, I mean, it's a handy place to stay. But, you know, can you imagine being stuck with the same blokes for 6 months and, like, every day? So to manage that, Frank Panisi's the manager. He's a great fellow. And for Craig in particular to manage all that and not have any drama at all is incredible. They just kept winning. They played at the stadium up there, Sunshine Coast Stadium. They played at that. They didn't lose a game there all season. They'd never lost a game at Suncorp, which is the old Land Park in Brisbane. So mate, they're just an incredible club. They are absolutely fantastic. They are the best club in the rugby league.
Well, there you go. No, so Fat, you said there were Bellamy's up there with the top three coaches, I think you said, probably ever.
Yep.
I'm not sure if you said that, but
I
presume maybe you could tell me who the other two were. And you also and you also said that Andrew Johns and I presume Wally Lewis and I'm not sure if Paul Vorton's in there, but you said they're in the group of eight of the great rugby.
The immortals.
The immortals.
They pick immortals.
Who are the immortals as opposed to the legends?
The immortals, they go back from 1908. So Clive Churchill,
yes,
after whom the grand final medal is named, Graham Langlands, Reg Gasnier, Bob Fulton, Wally Lewis, Mel Meninga, Arthur Beetson. Arthur Beetson, Aborigines, one of the greatest ever. They just go on and on. There's a couple of others.
And where does Daly M come in when you win the Daly M medal like the Brownlow?
The Daly M, a Daly messenger. He was an original player back in the 1920s he played. He was his feet are legendary in rugby league. No one, of course, in our ilk ever saw him play, but his legend lives on in what they call the Daly M Medal. So every year the Daly M Medal, I managed in my career to win none. So there you go.
That's all right. I live in the same tower as his grandson, Daly M.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, Daly Messenger. Yes. I live in the same building as his grandson. And the top three coaches
Wayne Bennett would be there. He's won six comps. And look, Norm Proven played for the Dragons. They won 11 comps in a row between 1956 and 1967 or 65. They won 11 in a row, and Norm Proven was captain coach for about five or six of them. So he's up there. He's a legend of coaching as well. There's obviously some wonderful, wonderful coaches. Phil Gould's up there with one of the greatest.
Jack Gibson.
Jack Gibson, mate, he won three in a row with Parramatta. He won six all up, you know, Jack. So, yeah, Jack, Craig Bellamy, and probably, in my era, Jack, Craig Bellamy, and Wayne Bennett.
I spoke to Jack Gibson one day and I said, what quality do you look for when you go recruiting players to play your game? And he said, brains. Jeez, I thought you'd have to have a lack of brains to play that game.
That's hard to find. They're hard to find in our game. Yeah, well, he was a great... But you know what? Not so much a great rugby league coach, but a great mentor. And he just got the best people he could find and sent them out there. And they knew how to play footy, but he managed all that. Now, he was a wonderful coach.
In the future, Fatty, I spoke to a friend up in New South Wales. His boy was going through the system. And I wonder about the system. He took his boy out. They played a representative game. And he came up against Polynesian boys who mature very, very early And he just pulled the kid off the ground because these kids are enormous. Is this the way the game is going nowadays, is that your front rowers, your big fellows, seem to be Polynesians because they mature early, yet late developers don't seem to get the opportunity?
You know what? It's not spoken of very much, but it is a massive problem in our sport, especially, say, an area like Penrith, where I think in the juniors in particular, you're probably, I think there's 75 to 80% of all players are Polynesians, and which is great. They're very good at our sport. You're only going to look at some of the great players. They have a kick-out, the big towering second rower who's got he's got a skunk on his hair, number 11. He's been a great player for them this year. So players of his ilk. And when they're under, you're right about, they grow up quickly and they're big. When they're under 13s and 14s and 15s, and what they tell me is that the smaller players who are of white heritage just get hammered. And the parents, are going, well, I'm not sending my boy out against, they're 90 kilos already, some of these kids. It is a problem, no doubt about it, and I don't know what they can do about it. But, some of these Polynesians, they're great players. They're fantastic, great athletes. But, there are some players who probably stop playing rugby league because of the size difference.
One game that I take a lot of interest in, and having been up, I travel the horse shows through central Queensland.
John's an equestrian rider.
I was in a place called Emerald, which is central.
At 91, it's fantastic.
There he gets his agates.
Emerald. And it was a time of state of origin, and I could not believe that a country town so far away from the city was just emblazoned in maroon. Is it an inferiority complex that you Queenslanders have when it comes to New South Wales? Because we Victorians barrack for Queensland. We're not interested in New South Wales. And secondly, are they on the rebound and will they get hammered in this Origin series coming up? Because I didn't recognise too many names in the Queensland squad.
Just ask me about questions in 10 seconds. But I'll... I've forgotten 9 of them.
Yeah, well, Don, when Don show jumps, his plums get pushed up into his spleen, and I think it affects his thought process, so you've got to just make allowances.
Just think, wow. It's not an inferiority complex. So what happened, and I go back to the 60s and 70s, is that all our players, the good players from Queensland, would get snapped up by New South Wales and the big clubs in Sydney because they had the poker machine money to spend. We had no, poker machines didn't come into Queensland until probably the late 80s or mid 80s. So a lot of our players went, and then so Queensland Rugby League was at an all time low. We couldn't, when we played New South Wales, when there was no Origin, we were lucky to score a try. So we'd get beaten 20-30-40 nil every time. State of Origin came along. A few of our players came back, led by the great Arthur Beetson. The iconic sight of him running out on the very first Origin game, he was fantastic, and it all changed because we won that game. We won the next one in 1981. Then in 1982, they started a three-match series, and we won 82, 83, 84. And so all of a sudden, Queensland Rugby League's back on the map, and it has become the most loved, and if you're a player, the most sought-after jumper in the world is to get that Queensland jumper.
In the world?
And we're all... I'm telling you, that's how I felt. And I played 22 Origins for Queensland through the 80s. And, you'd run out onto Lang Park.
You played 22 games of Origin.
Yeah, I know.
We did mention that when I was introducing you off the phone.
Bump back rower, but I had the job and I just did it as best as I could. When you're standing there at Lang Park on a beautiful evening on a Wednesday night and you're looking around and those people who are at the ground and you realise that they're there for you and your team. They're there for you. And that just made me feel so proud. And I'd look for my parents in the crowd and I normally knew where they sat and I was doing it for my mum and my dad and, all that sort of stuff. And we all felt that way. So we would do anything at all possible to help Queensland to win. And I can't tell you how many times where, just personally, I was on the field and I was completely fucked, right? Couldn't raise a... I was sweating, bleeding, something wrong with my shoulder and my arm and my leg. I couldn't raise a stick because I had no... And you just had to find something. And you just had, you know, to make another tackle or make another run. And that's how we played. That's just what we did.
Yeah.
And they, New South Wales, a lot of the times, had far superior players, when I say that, in ability, right? They were better. Like, nearly every player that played Origin for New South Wales was a better player than me. But you think he ever played better than I did on the night? That's what we did. We just lifted and nullified them and played better than them. We weren't better players, but we played better. And yeah, that just purely came through ticker.
Fantastic.
Through heart and what we believed in. And then, so I think one of the eight questions you asked was this year. And yes, when you look at the squad, now the other thing is I managed to coach Queensland in 1995.
Yes, we said that.
Yes, during the Super League war. So we weren't allowed to pick any of the Brisbane Broncos. You had, you know, oodles and oodles of great Queensland talent. So we picked a bit of rejects, reserve graders, whoever we could find, and we put Queensland jumpers on them.
You beat them 3-0.
Yes, we did. They played against, in that New South Wales team, they had 11 internationals out of 17. We had none, and we beat them 3. And it's one of the greatest things that ever happened to me in my life, was to be their coach.
You should be in the top. You should be one of the top four coaches then, ever.
I wouldn't be in the top 4,000.
Yes, you would.
But, you know, it's great. And once again, this is, it's a similar situation. I'm looking at the Queensland side going, you know what, they're okay. And then you look at the Blues and you go, my godfather, look at that. They are so good. But it doesn't matter, because Origin's never been about talent. It's about what you can produce from the inside and how you just have to play better. My thing in the 95 series, and when I played, was right, keep turning up. Just keep turning up. And if you keep turning up, they aren't going anywhere. New South Wales, they're not going anywhere. Keep turning up. And I just kept saying it to myself and to my team when I coached them. Just keep turning up, boys. You'll get them. And they did. And Jesus, that's what you've got to do.
Well, what about this year?
Well, I think, look, there's no reason they can't win. I always think Queensland, whenever I ran out of the field of Queensland jumper, I thought, well, no, we're going to win. And so there's no reason they can't win. It's they're going to do it a bit harder because some of their great players are out injured. Caelan Ponga's one, and they've got no centres. They're all crook. So they're just going to have to produce. It'll come from the inside. That's where it comes from.
Now, Fat.
The Queensland spirit.
Yes. I'm just following on from Don's lead. I've got three questions. You can remember them. One of them is... the night grand final, we're just umming and ahhing. I think the televising network, Seven, are going to push for it next year, and it'll probably happen. Is it a good idea? Has it worked up there? Secondly, what do you like about the AFL, if anything? And thirdly, of the immortals, did I hear you say Billy Slater, or wouldn't
no,
you?
No, Billy's not an immortal.
Should
he
be?
He may be one day.
Yes.
Well, they normally you've got to wait until 5 years.
I see.
Until after you retire to even be considered. Look, you know, I would probably say maybe not. Cameron Smith definitely will be. Guy Jonathan Thurston, who retired 2 years ago, he definitely will be. But Billy, not sure about Bill. He's obviously, they've got another thing called the greatest Australian players of all time. There's a big list. He'll end up on that, Billy. Probably not. Maybe not an immortal.
Okay, so the night grand final and AFL.
Well, yeah, it's been night grand finals. Look, obviously when I played in our era, Sam, they were day grand finals and they were fantastic. But obviously the television companies, Seven and Nine, they love it because they get ratings. They get massive ratings. During the day, the ratings don't matter. They don't even count them.
Yeah.
So, nighttime ratings, and that's when it's how they sell their business is the ad. So, you know, so I think they're here to stay. I used to love watching the AFL on a Saturday afternoon grand final day, but I didn't mind it. I didn't mind it at night. I thought it was all right. It wasn't that much difference to me, to be honest. What do I like about AFL? It's a great skill game. I like the skill in AFL. The jumping, the marks. It's just a great skill that some players have. I've got to say that I think this year, the play doesn't seem to flow anymore. There seems to be 1,000 players around the ball every time it hits the deck. There's so many players around the ball, and it's like a rugby mall.
What an observation!
Is that right or not?
Yes, spot on.
You're right. That's exactly right.
I'm an amateur, but every time the ball hits the ground, there's a dozen players there grabbing each other, kicking out for it, fumbling it, knocking it around. I'm just going, can someone just pick the thing up and kick it?
I hate
the hand when they start handballing.
Ah, backwards. Fantastic!
I'm going, oh, my godfather, what are you doing?
We say this here, and because we've played, they say, "Oh, you're living in the past." Have it come from another code's point of view, mate, you are spot on.
Yeah. Oh, well, I know FA about the game, but I enjoy it. But all I know, I like to punt on it. And when I've got a team that needs to kick goals, right, and they're at the back and they're kicking it out the back and kicking it, handballing it backwards, I'm going, you bloody idiot.
Yeah.
How are you going to kick a goal from 150 metres away? Yeah. Get it downfield, you imbecile.
Beautifully so, said, Fat.
Yeah, now, anyway.
Now, Fat, Don, have you done?
No, I'm not done.
Oh, well, all right. Sorry about that, Fat. Don's not done yet.
Now, this is getting right off. This is getting off rugby altogether, and it's getting into the media entertainment field. Without pissing in your pocket, I enjoyed you as a host and on the television on the rugby league.
He was a star.
Why aren't you there now?
why aren't you?
There? Come on.
Why am I not on a television show?
Yeah.
Well, because I got sacked.
Why?
That's a very good question. I don't know. My last footy show was 2017. I said goodbye at the end of the last see you next year. And then they contacted me. I was in Vegas at the end of 2017. And my immediate boss, Glenn Palliser, who's Sam knows, he's the EP of our great show back in 2000, but also of the footy show for the last 6 years. And he sent me a text, said, ring the AFC. So I rang him, and I said, mate, I've been asked to pass on a message to you from Hugh Mark, who's the CEO. He said, yes. I said, what's that, mate? He said, tell Fatty his services are no longer required to host the footy show. And that's how it happened. I guess I got punted via a phone call.
Yeah, but wouldn't they pick you up and put you on the panel show that comes on of a Sunday?
No.
Erin Molan is the host.
Erin, I hosted that show for 13 years, and then Sterlo hosted it after me, and then now Erin's hosting it. She's a very good
host. She isn't, but gee.
No, Sunday Footy Show, yeah, I know.
Well but, said,
Fat. I'm only a part-timer now, Johnny. I still call the game. I only do the Brisbane games, Townsville, and the Gold Coast. So I live in Mermaid Beach now, so that's all I do. And they're not, Channel 9, what they've worked out this year, Channel 9, with their rugby league coverage, is how much money they were spending flying 50 people at, say, the Townsville to call the game. So, you know, they're not flying anyone now. The COVID's cut that all down, and they believe they can save money. So I'll just be doing local games. But I still enjoy, I love calling. I love being on camera whenever possible. I've got a great rapport with Andrew Johns and John and Thurston when we do a game together. So, no, it's all good.
Well, our careers have taken a parallel direction, in fact. And
we're both born.
And we loved every minute of it. Don,
did you watch the show called Sam and the Fat Men? Were you one of the...
No, I didn't know there was a show.
Well, we had a show together. And, mate, the Melbourne Cup, Brew won the Melbourne Cup in the year 2000. And we had the trainer on, Mike Moroney, and the jockey, Kieran McEnvoy. I asked a few questions. It was 2 days after they'd won the Melbourne Cup. And Sam said, right, now, Michael, you had You ready for this question? You had three. You remember this, Sam? He said you had three horses in this race. One of them led and set a very fast pace. Did you send that horse out to set a pace so that your horse, Brew, could come from behind and win the race? Did you do that? So he's accusing him of cheating. Mike Moroney nearly fell off his chair. Kieran McAvoy curled up into a ball.
Into a ball, what, with laughter? Or?
I must have been given that question to ask, seeing as I know nothing about racing and they put me up to it. That'd be Glenn Pallister.
It was one of the great questions. Mate, no one spoke.
Well, did they do that?
No, they didn't. I'm surprised we lasted 7 weeks. That was about the third week.
No, we lasted 7 weeks because we were given... We lasted eight, didn't we?
No, we were supposed to go eight and only lasted seven.
Well, we were told they wanted us to fill in during the summer or whatever.
That's it, after the Olympics.
The big man that ran the station, what's his name?
David
Leckie. David Leckie, so I should know David, he's a nice man. David said, we want you to fill in for 8 weeks. And I remember getting on the plane coming back from Sydney after the seventh show, and there was this vacant seat on the plane. And I thought, and as the door shut, David Leckie got on and he sat next to me. And I said, geez, that's a coincidence, David. What are you doing? He said, I'm just coming down to Melbourne. And he said, look, he said, I know you and Fat, I don't think want to, we asked you to do it for 8 weeks. He said, this is the seventh week.
Yep.
He said, we just want you to see out the 8 weeks. And I said, oh, do you, David? I said, all right. I said, is that what you're on this plane for? He said, yes, I've just come on the plane to ask you to see out the 8 weeks. And he got to Melbourne, at Tullamarine, when the plane landed, and he walked straight to the check-in counter and he got on the next plane back to Sydney. And he'd only got on the plane to ask us, could we please see out the 8 weeks? And I said, we will, David, so that's how it started and ended. But we weren't sacked, Fat, because we were given 8 weeks and we did 8 weeks and that was it.
Yes.
And now, Fat, you're a very good man. How's the golf? I know you're an excellent golfer. You're 3, 4, 2. What are you?
Playing off 5.
Of course you are. That's
51 years of age. I'm okay. Yeah, I'm okay with that. What are you off now?
I'm off 1,000. And Fat, it's very nice to speak to you, and you've given us a great insight into the NRL, and they're great athletes, those boys, different to our players in the AFL, but they're very strong, great athletes, and it's they're two great codes that we have in this country. So thank you very much.
Wonderful codes, and you are, Sam, I love you. I think you're an absolute legend and a very nice human being, and Don, You sound fantastic.
No, you think I'm a bastard. You don't know me and you think I'm a bastard.
Some of your questions were unbelievably very good.
They were too. I was impressed by them. You hear some of his fucking questions, you wouldn't even... Yep, you're lucky you can even understand them, but I understood the ones he asked you, Fat, that they were good.
Yes. Just go back to that part where you asked me 8 questions in 15 seconds and just see if I answered them there. I got to them all.
Thank you very much, my friend.
You're welcome, boys. My pleasure anytime.
Bye-bye. Thanks, Paul.